Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Hey everybody, Norm Borg with you. He's known for his unconventional training methods that worked. For example, he's a winning trainer of the 1995 Metro Pace champion, a stud named Sue. Bud Burke is opinionated, outgoing, and some may say outrageous, and he's next on this edition of Trot Radio. All right, Bud Burke is standing by. And before we get to Bud, we have to do some housekeeping matters here. It concerns the sustainability and development program of Standardbred Canada. They've been having meetings at tracks across the province, and there are two more to come. This Sunday, there'll be one right here at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, main level from 3 o'clock to 4:30. And then next Tuesday at Kawartha Downs from 1:30 to 3 o'clock at the Finish Line Bar. That's in the second floor of the grandstand. The one at Rideau will be held in the main level. We strongly urge you to attend these meetings because, after all, you know, if self-sufficiency, if sustainability is what we're aiming for, then this plan is at least well worth listening to, and I'll tell you why. And Jeff Gorrell says it best when he says that when a casino owns a racetrack, the first thing they want to do is figure out how to get rid of racing. Well, the slots may not own the racetracks here in Ontario, but they sure can call the tune when they want. And I'm going to give you an example of what happened just last night right here at my home track of RCR. A family of three, mom, dad, probably in their late 60s, their daughter, quadriplegic, barely communicative. These people wanted to go through the dining room and enjoy a buffet. Well, to do that, you've got to go through the slots area. Well, nothing doing. The OLG security guard, frustrated mall cop, had the gall to demand that the parents produce proof of age for the daughter. But what's she going to do? You know, play the slots with her mouth? You know, bang her head on the buttons? Anyway, you know, my wife works with the handicapped. She tells me the parents seldom carry proof of age of an invalid child. Anyway, the parents didn't have the ID. They would have had to have taken a different entrance to the grandstand, which required going outside in the rain. They didn't go to dinner. They went home, and we lost a customer. Nice going, OLG security guard. You're the winner of this week's Schmuck of the Week. And it shows how we as an industry are in great measure, you know, under the thumb of slots, and how a program to establish sustainability and self-sufficiency may not be tomorrow, may not be the week after, the year after. At least it's a start to help break those chains. We can only hope. Come to the meeting. There. Got that off my chest, and I don't think many people will disagree, quite frankly. Bud Burke has been waiting on the other end of my line patiently while I gave my little rant there. Bud, thanks for being on Trot Radio.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
You at the very least, have been an outspoken participant in harness racing, right from everything from training methods on up to a position you've taken recently, which you're calling for almost like a relegation system, like in European soccer, when it comes to trainers training and racing at Woodbine. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Well, you know, I haven't heard of anybody losing their license because they're incompetent. And what they really should have is when a person gets a license, it should be a probationary trainer's license, okay? Mm-hmm. And say for 2 years. And during that time, you have to maintain a certain, you know, no different than a batting average, okay?
Right.
You know, and you have to maintain a certain level, or you can't, you're not going to get a permanent license.
Right.
You know, and you can have a probationary license and work under a trainer, but you cannot go out and get customers. What's happening now, they're getting a license to steal. Some of these guys, look at the averages. Okay, and that's what's getting people annoyed at us, you know, is that they're not getting anything but bills.
I'm a former owner. I know what that feels
well,
like.
Well, okay, then you know. Okay, exactly.
So what you're suggesting, though, is that a trainer, in order to race at the WEG circuit, for example, they ought to be able to maintain a certain average. If not, they don't race there. They're relegated.
Not just at WEG, any place. You know, why should you be racing at a track someplace? You know, another thing that really fries me.
Go ahead.
Is that a guy will say, and this happened not 3 weeks ago, okay? Say, well, you know, I'm bringing him back, and I'll race him into shape. You know, I'll take him at some B tracks. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm cheating.
Mm-hmm.
You're a trainer, and you're getting paid to train. You get the horse ready, and you put him in a race, and he should be competitive.
Well, okay, but I mean, you know, if you want to get them ready, it's like anything else. Say a ball player or a hockey player comes off rehab, you know, he may play some games down in the minors.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so what's wrong with that?
Well, the thing about this is people are not betting on a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're betting to win some money, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And when the guy is putting the horse in there to get it ready, okay, what kind of nonsense is that? It shouldn't. And he's just saying, like, you know, I didn't do my job. I haven't got my horse ready. But you're going to pay to see him get ready.
Yeah, but as a handicapper, I would know that, and I'm probably lay off him first time out.
Well, the thing about it is, see, we're not going to get new people out. We need a pile of different bettors, okay?
Yeah.
And we got to be able to make it pleasant for them, and they got to be able to trust us.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it. Now, I'll tell you a typical thing. You can look at, like you could name the horses, but you look at, every time I started a horse, I put him into a stake race, the first race.
Really?
And every one of them won, because he's ready.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
The way this whole approach is, you know, that, well, you know, do it how you feel like it. You don't feel responsible. You don't have any integrity. You don't have any pride, because you don't want to put a horse out there and not have him do well. You know, if you've got any pride in your workmanship, you know.
Well, you certainly are, at the very least, known for your patience in terms of training methods. You have basically spoken word commands that you gave to your horses. You didn't have them in the cross ties. You taught them to sit still or stand in the shed row. You set some pretty high standards.
Well, see, I was brought up on the farm, and nobody's ever owned that farm but us. But the thing about it is that my grandparents and my were horse people. That's all you had was horses, and we were in a valley, and the horses were on the side of the hill, is where the pastures were. It was hilly, and that's why they were so strong. We had a real, you know, I went into horse pulling to start with, and you know that I had to get out of it because I was winning all the time. You know, oh, absolutely, oh, wow. Because You train them properly, you know. I worked in the bush, you know, I'm in my 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the bush with horses, okay? So you get to know horses really well, you know, and particularly when they're so important to you, you know.
Yeah.
But I see a whole pile of areas where we should, you know what I would like to see?
What's that, bud?
It'll never happen in my lifetime, but it would be, to me, when you see the kind of response that people get during the Olympics out in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we were to take and do like a lot of other sports do, we would put a team together, okay, and a team would be, say, maybe 8 or 10 trainers,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we would call it the Canadian team or the Ontario team,
mm-hmm.
okay, and here's all of these horse trailers that haven't got anything on them, or the trucks. Why not put on something on there as advertising, you know,
yeah.
driving up and down the road, and nothing on the trailers?
Let me ask you about one more training method, and I want to go on to your thoughts, if we may, on the racing sustainability and development plan. I want to go to an issue that is, I find, really fascinating, your position on it. Gelded horses are the result of bad trainers.
Yes.
Now, what happens? Okay, go ahead. Talk about that.
Well, okay. Well, see, I farmed with 4 studs, okay, in the team at once.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of them weighed under 2,000 pounds because I used to go to the horse pulls with them.
Right.
Okay. And I could, and they, I have pictures. Like there's nothing that I say that I can't back up with witnesses, pictures, or videos, okay?
Okay.
Here's a typical thing. When I was in New Jersey, we had more horses than we should have had, okay?
Right.
So what I would do is I'd jog 2 or 3 at a time.
Hmm.
And I had a stud named Sue in the jogger, and I had Chippy's ruler beside, and I had a filly named Willie on the other side, and I had the, I had them completely harnessed, hobbles and all.
Really?
Okay, and drove the three of them, and I went a 210 mile with three horses and a jogger.
And a stud, and a
stud. And a stud in the center.
In the center, and a filly to his left, I guess, or
a filly to his left and a filly to his right.
Whoa. And he behaved himself. He didn't get all ranky?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, everybody says, how do your studs behave? Okay, and I said, well, you know, how did your father get you to behave that you weren't assaulting your sisters?
Well, my old man would have beat the hell out of me.
Well, but the thing about it is, see, you, now I'll tell you, you can't beat them. Okay?
No, no, I know that.
And another thing, do you know that I have never put a needle in a racehorse in my life?
Oh, I know, but what do you do when you got a stud colt, and you know how ignorant stud colts can be? They're like teenage boys. Tell me about that, but that's for another day.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two simple methods. One is, when I first started out with them, I carry a large towel, I sit on a large towel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, soon as they misbehave, okay, and misbehaving can be squealing or yakking or messing around.
Yeah.
I stop them, I drop the jogger right there, I take the towel, I put it over their head, and I spin them in a circle, and I'll never make more than seven turns because they'll be staggering, they're so dizzy, okay? And what happens, see, you got to put a horse into a position that he hasn't inherited, his mother hasn't taught him, other horses haven't taught him how to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, his first line of defense, of course, is flight. And if he can't get away, he's going to fight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, he doesn't know what to do, and he thinks he's falling off the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Once he starts staggering, like the aggression, everything is gone instantly. Okay.
Mm.
And this takes maybe 20 seconds.
Wow.
Okay. And then you start talking to him, and you hold him. You hang on to him then. Get him where he's staggering good. And then you hang on to him, okay?
Yeah.
And start patting him and start talking to him. And then you walk him up the track and turn around and walk him back the track. And he's feeling him with his front feet, but he starts to trust you.
Mm.
Okay? And when he does, from that point on, you may have to, one more time in his lifetime you have to do that. But one of the things you can't do is don't do it too often, okay? And that's about all it takes.
Wow.
And you're reprogramming his head.
You are truly a horse whisperer, sir. Let me get your thoughts on the racing sustainability and development plan. It looks as though, and I'm all for it. We'll see how it goes, over time. But for it, against it, what's your take on it?
Oh, we have to, and I think it's great.
Well, sir, this has been a great lesson for me as a horse lover, and I'm sure there's a lot of up-and-coming trainers that have benefited from the knowledge you've dispensed. Some may or may not agree, but in either case, we are certainly really thrilled to have had you on Trot Radio. Bud Burke, continue good luck and enjoy your semi-retirement, I guess?
Well, I'll tell you, I've had seven operations and a heart attack during the last 3 years.
You're tough as a horse as you train, sir.
I'm glad to be looking down at the grass and not off at it.
That's right. Bud Burke, thanks
very much for calling.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.